Welcome everybody to our final class of our series, Majesty of Torah, and we are exactly 1 week away, on the minute, from Shavuos, and it's not as bad as Pesach. It's not like when you have to think about Pesach. Oh my gosh, we're 1 week to Pesach. Ah, Shavuos is much easier, hopefully. But in our preparation of 1 week before, in the context of the three classes that we spoke about, you know, the greatness of Torah, where Torah comes from, the white light of Torah, the levels of Torah, the humility that one needs to have in order to have a connection to Torah. So tonight I thought that perhaps we would, in the few minutes that we have, we would focus on what exactly was one of the main messages of the Sinai Revelation, Mamad Har Sinai, and focusing in a bit on Moshe Rabbeinu's experience in a little bit of greater detail, what he experienced and what that teaches us about Kabbalah Satorah, receiving the Torah. I want to begin with a quote, a short quote, from the Ramban. The Ramban says, there, you know, we all know that the Rambam, Maimonides, wrote a book called Sefer HaMitzvos, in which he enumerates the 613 mitzvos. So the Ramban, he has a disagreement with the Rambam about counting mitzvos. And in the back of the book, the Ramban writes about the mitzvos forgotten, the forgotten mitzvos of the Rambam, why the Rambam didn't count them. He argues with the Rambam why the Rambam didn't count them. He should have enumerated the following mitzvos. Okay. In that section, in the forgotten prohibitions, the Ramban writes the second mitzvah is that we're from Sheninenu Shalom Nishkach Mamar Harsinai Velo Nasir Oto Midatenu. We are warned by God not to forget the event, the Sinai event, and not to remove it from our minds. It's supposed to be something that we constantly remind ourselves of, that we were at Sinai. That's something really important. There's a pasuk in the Torah, Pen tishkaches hadvarim asher ra'u einecha, lest you forget the things that you saw with your own eyes at Mamad Har Sinai. And then, I want to zero in on a few words that the Ramban uses here. Aval, rather, what should our perspective be? Yihiyu einenu v'libeinu sham kol hayamim. Rather, our eyes and our hearts, that means our perception and our desires, should be focused on that place all of our days. That means throughout Jewish history, the entire Jewish nation, all the time, should be focused on the connection back to Sinai. When I was in yeshiva, the reason I bring this up is because when I was in yeshiva, I recall one of my mentors in yeshiva emphasizing this very strongly, like in his passionate, you know, lecture, if you will, to us before Shavuos. That this is really the underpinning of Shavuos. Shavuos is supposed to be a time that we're coming to again. In the yearly cycle, we're coming again to the point where the Torah was given. And what is the core message that's supposed to carry us through the year? What are we supposed to get from Shavuos? We're about to run by at 100 miles an hour. We're going to snatch something from Shavuos, and we're going to continue on our way through the year. What do we want to get from Shavuos? Besides the cheesecake. What else do we want to get from Shavuos on the way? On the way through Shavuos, we want to definitely pick up the message. We want to pick up the fact that Mamad Har Sinai, us being at Sinai, was a tremendous, tremendous event that is supposed to be well-rooted in our hearts all the time. Now, to be quite honest, how are we going to do that? Right? Like, what does that mean to us? I mean, especially after staying up all night, you know, and then hearing the Torah reading in the morning, we're half asleep. It definitely doesn't resonate with us. And half of us won't even hear the reading of the Torah, perhaps, of Maamar Har Sinai. So it's not necessarily going to be some super event in shul that might do it for you. It might be. For the few amongst us, that might be it. You stand up, they read the Ten Commandments, you feel, close your eyes, you imagine a desert, you know, all you hear is God's voice, and that has such an effect on you that you're carried through the year. That's possible. But the reason most of us won't have that out-of-body experience on Shavuos morning, and therefore, that's what these classes are for, really. These classes are really to get us at least in the mood, to get us at least in the mind frame, that when it is Shavuos, even if we didn't hear the Torah reading, we think about Shavuos, we talk about Shavuos, we realize something eventful is going on today. And that's the point. And the point is that we're supposed to take from that that our perspectives and our desires are connected to Sinai. But what happened at Har Sinai that was so amazing? Why is it the Jewish home? Welcome home, Har Sinai. Why is Har Sinai our home? What happened over there exactly that was so magnificent? What exactly happened? So there is a statement of our sages, Chazal. Chazal say that when Adam Harishon sinned, right, when he sinned, he fell. And at the point of the sin, it says that the Nachash, the serpent, the snake in Gan Eden, instilled some kind of venom into Chava. The Medrash actually says that the snake had relations with Chava, and by having relations with Chava, he put into her Zuhama. Zuhama literally means some filth. He put some filth into Chava. He put dirt into Chava. She was contaminated by her experience with the Nachash. And the Medrash says like this, Yisrael sha'amdu al har Sinai haska zuhamasa. The Jewish people who stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, their zuhama, their, like, not using the word filth in terms of being derogatory, but in terms of their contamination, the contamination that human beings were infused with the experience with the Nachash, haska zuhamatan. The Jewish people ceased, their zuhama ended, came to an end at Maamar Har Sinai. There, the contamination that was contaminating all of humanity through that original experience that Chava had with the Nachash, obviously this is all allegorical, right? Chava is not simply understood to have had relations with a serpent, with a snake. There's some kind of a message that Chazal are telling us in this story. We'll get to it in a moment. So that contamination remained with everyone else. But when it came to Bnei Yisrael, it was with them until they stood at the foot of Har Sinai. And when they stood at the foot of Har Sinai, Paska Zuhamasa, their contamination ceased. Umos Ha'olam, whereas the Gentiles, Shelo Amdu Al Har Sinai, they didn't stand by Har Sinai, Lo Paska Zuhamasa, their contamination didn't end. What contamination was it that Chava had this experience with the Nachash and that the Jewish people, it ceased for them but it continues for everyone else? The answer is that the failure of humanity at the original sin in Adam and Chava with the Nachash, what happened over there was that there was lack of clarity. There was a miscalculation. We once studied in this room, mm-hmm. in this class, we once studied the Ramchal, whose yahrzeit was yesterday. We once studied from the Ramchal. The Ramchal said that there was a calculation. Adam said, it's better for me to actually have a Yetzirah and overcome the Yetzirah than to not have a Yetzirah at all. It's much better. So when he was tempted with the possibility of bringing a Yetzirah into him, or into the human existence, Adam and Chava chose to bring the Yetzirah in. Because it's a much greater service of Hashem to have a Yetzirah and overcome it than to not have it at all. But the truth is that was a big mistake, because Hashem really wants human beings to attain purity. and the pure state of Adam HaRishon was of greater value than his ability to overcome something. If you recall, in our previous series that we talked about pure-heartedness or wholeheartedness with Hashem, Tamimus, our last mitzvah in the Mitzvah Universe class, we talked about wholeheartedness, so we talked about that there's someone called a Yashar, a straightforward person, a straight person, who sees all the options in front of him, and he chooses the right option, and then there's a level that's even higher, that's called Tam. A Tam, a simple-hearted person, not because he's a fool, just because he walks with faith with Hashem, he doesn't want to see what those sides are. He just follows Hashem. Whatever Hashem says, that's what he's going to follow. That's a higher level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Adam HaRishon to be a Tam. But Adam thought that to be a Yashar, to be a person who selects the good, the straight path, from the many choices, would be better. That was not a correct choice. That was the Chet of Adam HaRishon. So all of the human race continues to operate under those codes, which is lack of clarity, put all the options on the table, and then choose what is the best path to serve Hashem, or to serve God, or to be moral, or ethical, or whatever we want to call it. But the Jewish people, they also had that approach until they came to Har Sinai. When they came to Har Sinai, Pascha Zu HaMasam, Hashem showed them with clarity that Hashem opened, the Medrash says, Hashem opened all of the layers of the heavens. The Jewish people saw the fabric of creation. They saw that the Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, all the letters of the Aleph, Bet, are what make the world stand. And that the Torah is the blueprint of creation. They saw that when Hashem gave the Torah. They have that clarity. So the Jewish people now came to a level of Ein Od Milvado. There is nothing but Hashem's true existence in Hashem's Torah. They no longer are on the level of Yashar. Now they're on the level of Tam. So that is what the Ramban might mean, perhaps, that's the essential message of Shavuos. The message of Shavuos that we're supposed to arrive at on Shavuos, and it's not easy, like I just said, it's not easy for us to arrive at there. But how do you know you've arrived? If we develop a sense of there's clarity, the Torah is majestic, the Torah is beautiful, the Torah is the fabric of creation, the Torah is divine, there's meaning to my life, there's purpose to what's going on. It's not just that there's multiple choices and there's an option and so on. There's clarity. There's Enod Milvado. That is the experience of Shavuos. And that is why we never should forget what happened at Har Sinai. Because we are going to be with Hashem. If we are simple-hearted, Tamimim, if we are Tamimim, we're simple-hearted, then we will be with Hashem. Will be united with Hashem. It's not like, imagine this. I'm just going to give a mashal I just thought of, actually, but I think it might be perhaps a good mashal. Imagine you're in a social setting, there's men and women there, right? And you're a man or you're a woman, and you're looking for someone to socialize with, someone of the opposite gender that you want to socialize with, you want to get to know, right? You want to have a relationship with, you want to build a relationship with, right? So you look around the room. What's the difference between looking around the room and selecting the person who you think would be, that would be the appropriate person? You know, you're attracted to that person, the person seems friendly, they seem nice, you think you'll be able to strike up a conversation. So from all the choices, you choose that person. As opposed to when there are no other choices. There's only one choice, your spouse. That is the person who you've selected, who has selected you, and when you are in a social setting, so to say, or when you're at home, you're not looking around for different options, right? There's no shopping anymore. The shopping is over. You brought home the product, so to say, right? Now you're with your spouse. That level of relationship is so much greater, right? That is being with Hashem. That's the difference between being a Yashar and a Tam. When you're a Yashar, you're not with that other person. There are a lot of other options, and this is a good option. This is the best option. But when you are a Tam, when you are simple-hearted, you're wholehearted, you're, I don't have a good translation, you're pure-hearted, you follow with simplicity and with faith,
then you're with Hashem. Wherever Hashem is, I'm with Hashem. Wherever Hashem goes, I'm with Hashem. Whatever comes about, I'm with Hashem. I'm simple-hearted with Hashem because I realize it's clear to me that Hashem is my spouse and I'm Hashem's spouse. That we are, He's my God, I'm His people. He's my creator, I'm His creation. I pray to Him, He answers me. I have this intimate relationship with Hashem that I wouldn't trade off for anything. It's so clear to me that the Torah that He gave me is my guide. It's just, that's Tamimus. That is what we aim to achieve on Shavuos. Now, every single person we know, the Midrash tells us, every single person was at Har Sinai. That's the Midrash in Parshat Yitro. We all know that every neshama was there. Every single neshama. I just saw a beautiful commentary on this Midrash, this piece of Midrash, that everyone knows that HaNeshamos HaAsidos LeHibaros, all the neshamos that are destined to be created, all the Jewish souls, and all the converts that are never would have been part of the Jewish people, but in the future there will be part of the Jewish people, and they're going to come. And all those neshamos were in Har Sinai, and it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki et asher yeshno po imanu omeid hayom," he who is with us standing today. "Ve'et asher enenu po imanu hayom," and that which is not with us today. It doesn't say not with us standing today. When you talk about the people that are here, they're standing. Those were the actual physical people that were there. But then there's a whole entourage, a mass of neshamos that came down from Shemayim to be present at Matan Torah. All of the Jewish neshamos. And every nevuah, every prophecy there will be, any learning of Torah that will ever come, any piece of wisdom, all of it is rooted back. Where? Where is it rooted back?
Sinai.
It's rooted back at?
Sinai.
At the point of clarity. That's where it's rooted back. Exactly what we're saying. Meaning, the point is that it's all back at that point of clarity. Mm-hmm. A Navi, 1,000 years later, 1,500 years later, who's living in a turmoil, where's his clarity coming from? It's rooted back at Sinai. The neshama that's lost in the middle of who knows where in Europe, or it's out there in Asia, and it feels a yearning, I want to connect with Hashem. It's so much unclarity. Where is it connecting with? It's connecting with Sinai. It's connecting with the moment of clarity. That's why every Jewish neshama, right, each of our neshamos, have in it an essentially clarity. We have clarity inside of us that we can relate to. That's what the neshama said. That's the message. The message is, don't think for a moment that a Jewish neshama chooses Hashem because of Yosher. Because there's a lot of options. And this is a good option. That's not how a Jewish person connects to Hashem. That's not the neshama. What's at the depth of the neshama is the original clear experience. And every single person who studies Torah, every single person who has a prophecy, any aspect of clarity in a confusing world comes from one place, Har Sinai. That's where it comes from. V'chol echad ve'echad, the Anaf Yosef commenting on the Medrash, he says, v'chol echad ve'echad mechadesh ba'olam ma shekibla nafsho me'az. Every single person finds a novel idea, an insight in Torah, an insight in life, clarity, deeper meaning. All of that is coming from where? It's not something new that flows into your brain. You're uncovering what is deep down in your neshama. The neshama had to be at Sinai. Because what is a neshama? A neshama is a, without getting into details, a neshama is part of Hashem. So it had to be at Sinai, because if it wasn't at Sinai, then why wouldn't it be at Sinai? It's part of Hashem, it's part of that clarity. It's part of the understanding of a oneness. Ki chol nefesh v'nefesh yesh la shaychus im haTorah b'chol si'ifeha v'chelkeha. Every single soul has a relationship with Torah in all of its aspects. V'chol achas teveka ba me'ein b'chinasa b'Torah tevekus atzmis v'chelek nafsho. And every single person cleaves
to its aspect and its angle and its perspective and its nuance in Torah, something which is tangible, which is part of its very soul. That is the Jewish neshama, and we were all there. We all had that. We all had that. So what we need to, that's what we need to get to without going much longer than that. Yes, Helen.
What's going on with Jewish neshama that belong to, God forbid, atheist, or Jewish agnostic, or somebody who don't believe in Torah?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with his or her neshama?
They just haven't uncovered the depth of the neshama. Like all of us. We all, there are levels and levels and levels to our neshamos that we are not in touch with.
But they have.
Every single Jew has a neshama. And every single Jew was at Har Sinai, and every single Jew has that. It's a matter of uncovering it. Yeah? To send it to dry cleaners. Get it clean. Get it clean, you know? Polish it up. You know, make it shine. Give it its place on the shelf in the house. If you put it in the dusty closet,
you
underneath all the boots,
outside.
Not going to see it.
You cannot do it from outside. It has to be from inside.
Well, yeah.
Cleaning process.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Every person is, you know, can attain that. Every person can attain that.
But at least they have. It's not like
of
they
course.
Walk.
Of course not. Of course not. Of course not.
I was having a hard time reconciling that with free will. I didn't understand. How could you still have free will and you have to choose this way? As if you have this clarity, so there's no other choice, where does the free will come in?
You choose to develop a sense of clarity, meaning, you know.
I mean, it seems like free will implies that there is some other.
Of course, there's another choice. But of course, there's another choice. But just going on a tangent a little bit. We could, for example, we have any choice in the world. Right now, I have the choice to commit adultery, to murder, to steal, you know, to cheat, to lie. I have all those choices. You know, I could eat non-kosher food. I can desecrate Shabbos. I could do anything that I want to do. But some things are not within my frame of choice. Like, I'm not going to murder. Right? Now, I may not murder, but I may do things that may be very loosely and distantly associated to murder. For example, I might embarrass someone. Right? But murder I won't come to. Right? Now, do I have the free choice to, you know, to murder? Of course. Right? But I have that clarity that is not within my, you know, my choice. But embarrassing someone, that's already more common. I'm already holding there. You know, maybe I need to. That shouldn't be as clear. That should be more clear.
So the clarity kind of limits the.
Right, sharpens the focus.
Sharpens the
speak like an ophthalmologist. It sharpens your view of, you know, what's my target? It's not all blurry and all in the picture. It's narrowing things down and focusing on one specific thing until the ultimate goal is absolute clarity. And a human being is not capable of absolute clarity. Even Moshe Rabbeinu chose the wrong choice at a certain point. Every person does, because we're not malachim, we're human beings. And that's innate, that we are, there's human error. Right? But the goal is to live a life that aspires for clarity and for established, you know, thought out, linear approach to developing a relationship with Hashem. Not that every day it's a new battle, it's confusing all over again. I'm not really sure every single day. And today I'll see what I want to do. I want to share with you some. Let's go to the, if you don't mind, go to this part two. Mm-hmm. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu's experience. So, I think we spoke about what Sinai is, but there's something much more significant for us as people that don't always have clarity and want to connect with Torah. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's experience like? So, that is 100% clear that in order to have any relationship with Torah, and we've spoken about this, is that we need preparation. We need to have preparation for Torah. Now, preparation doesn't mean, let's prepare the next week,
you know, and then Shavuos will come and then we're done. But it's an ongoing process of making ourselves conditioned to being receptacles, to getting Torah, to listening to Torah, to hearing the message of the Torah. That's an ongoing process. And you see that in the giving of the Torah. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that for 3 days, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Lech el Ha'am v'kidashtam. Go to the nation and sanctify them, prepare them, you know, bring them to a higher level, inspire the people. Hayom u'machar. Today and tomorrow. Hashem was intending to give the Torah on the third day. And Moshe Rabbeinu added a day, the Talmud talks about. But the fact is, there was in the giving of the Torah, there's preparation. Why is it? Why? What did we learn? We learned about this. Why is it that you need preparation for Torah? I don't need preparation if I need to study math. I will only open the book. Maybe I just need a pen and paper, calculator, depending on the level. And I'm sitting down, I need some light, I need a table, I need some quiet, I can focus, I can do my math, I can do my work. But for Torah, it's not like that. Because Torah is not a regular, it's not something that is attainable by every person. Yes, all of us, no matter who you are, if you can read English, you can open an art scroll Gemara, you can open an art scroll Chumash, and anyone from any background, right? I think in the Vatican, some people study the Talmud, right? They have the art scroll Talmud has one of their shipments go to the Vatican, right? I mean, it's available. Anyone around the world can study the Talmud today. No, not everyone can study the Talmud. Everyone might be able to read the Talmud. But to be able to not only understand the Talmud, but to be able to get to a level of a relationship with the study, that must take preparation. And for the Jewish people at Har Sinai to connect with Torah, it took preparation. It did not come in any other way. Okay. That's pretty straightforward. So there's a famous Gemara, I think actually the rabbi mentioned it just a few days ago in Shul, between Mincha and Maariv. There's a famous Gemara, and it's quite an astounding Gemara. There comes a point of the class where I stand, because I'm more comfortable standing. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, on Daf Peches, it tells us the following. Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a few Gemaras like this. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time when he went up to receive the Torah, the day after, the morning after the giving of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu went up and he saw Kshe'ala Moshe Lamarom. When he went up on high, Moshe had a spiritual elevation. He came up to the spiritual realm. And when he came up to the spiritual realm, he saw Hashem sitting and tying crowns onto the letters of the Torah. We've spoken about this, but this is a new Gemara that perhaps we never mentioned here. I think we've ever mentioned it before. And the Gemara says, Hashem said to Moshe, "Ein shalom b'irecha." Don't they say hello where you're from? Don't they say shalom? You walk in, you open the door. I'm sitting here tying crowns onto the letters. Don't just stand there. Say hello. Ein shalom b'irecha. So Moshe, out of humility, said, "Klum yesh eved nosein shalom l'rabo." Isn't, but does a servant say hello to his master? You know, you walk before the Supreme Court judges or whomever it might be. You know, some great person, a great rabbi. Don't just walk in and say hello. You wait to be addressed. Right? They turn to you and say hello. Have a seat. I'll be with you in a minute. Classic words. Okay. So you have to say to the person, you wait for the address. You don't just speak, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Hashem, Amar lo, Hashem said back, Haya lecha le'ozrani. You should have assisted me. Okay, you didn't say hello, but you should have assisted me. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, if so, Amar lo, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ve'ata yigdal na koach Hashem, kasher dibarta le'mor. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that Hashem's strength should be, Hashem should be infused with greater strength. Now this is a very perplexing piece of Gemara. That's the story. Very unusual. Hashem sitting, what does it mean he's sitting? What does it mean he's tying crowns onto the letters? You know, we know there's crowns on the letters. What does it mean he's tying crowns on the letters? What does it mean he needs Moshe Rabbeinu to address him with shalom? And if he needed Moshe Rabbeinu to address him with shalom, wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's response correct? And if it was correct, so why do you say he should have helped me? So you should have asked him in the beginning. Why do you ask him to say shalom? The whole thing's confusing. And then Moshe Rabbeinu has to pray that Hashem has strength. We don't have time to go through the whole Gemara, but I want to kind of zip through it to give you a snippet of what I saw in the Maharal, which I think is really, really pertinent, extremely pertinent, very relevant. Hopefully, I'll be able to say it properly. When Moshe Rabbeinu came up and he saw Hashem tying the letters onto the crowns onto the Torah. What do the crowns indicate? What are the crowns? The crowns indicate that a crown is, yeah, the majesty of Torah. I think right over there on the brochure there's a nice big crown. Right? The tagim, the letter, the crowns of the Torah. The crown represents that there's malchus, there's majesty, there's kingship, there's a king over the Torah. There's a melech. But the crowns also indicate something on top of the letter, which stretches up. It represents the, relating back, and I'm just relating back to some of the classes, relating back to a higher Torah. Right? The shin doesn't end with its roof of a shin. The shin extends up. It's stretching up. There's something in the beyond. Hashem was tying this physical Torah, so to say, the Torah he was giving to Jewish people, with the high, lofty concepts. Hashem was connecting the spiraling of levels of Torah was going on as Moshe Rabbeinu came up. Hashem was creating the links between our Torah and the upper Torah. So he said to Moshe, you should have said shalom. Now shalom represents, when you say hello to someone, if you can greet someone, that means that you're at least, there's some compatibility. You're able to address the person. It's not like you're down here and they're up there. Right? So Hashem says to Moshe, you should have said to me shalom. Meaning, don't think, Moshe Rabbeinu, that you have no connection to the upper levels. You should say shalom. You should, when I'm involved in the spiraling of Torah, from the upper levels to the lower levels. Don't just stand there and be mute and say, I have nothing to do with the upper levels. The Torah, it's too great. Just give me this thing. I can't connect to the upper part. Says Hashem, no, you should have said shalom. You should have addressed me with shalom. Because you have a connection even with the deeper parts of Torah. What did Moshe Rabbeinu respond? Moshe Rabbeinu says that it's true, meaning, I'm mekabel, I accept what you said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You said that I should have had felt an association, okay. But on the other hand, it's not dignified. I mean, Hashem's inspiring Moshe, you know, try to aim for a connection with the upper Torahs. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu says, but I can't do that because, you know, Hashem, you're giving the Torah, and I can't greet you like that because I don't have a partnership with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're from the beyond. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu's response. Says Hashem, you should have helped me. You should have helped me. What does that mean? Now this is an amazing, amazing concept that's relevant to each one of us. Amazing concept. Basically, we'll conclude with this concept and connect it to another Gemara. Amazing concept. You have no connection, you have no partnership with me, with Hashem who's spiraling down the Torah. Right? No connection with that. Nevertheless, you are able to assist me in tying the crowns. Because what is the crown and what is the letter? The crown sits on the letter. The letter represents the most physical part of the Torah. Right? The literal part of the Torah. The crown is the upper part. The crown, though, sits on the letter. In order for there to be a crown in the Torah, you need a letter. You can't write crowns in the Torah without any letters. You need a letter. Moshe Rabbeinu, in order for me to be able to spiral down the crowns onto the letters, to bring the upper Torah onto the in a sense, the lower Torah, I need you to be a receptacle. La'ozreini. The more you want, you yearn to connect the Torah, the more I can connect the upper Torah into the lower Torah. Because how can I offer the upper holy conceptual Torah to someone who doesn't want it? If there's no audience, there's no teacher. Right? If there's no Talmud, there's no Rav. A Rav and a Talmud don't have a connection because they're not colleagues. But the connection that the Talmud has with the Rav is not the collegial connection, but it's the fact that that since there's a letter, there's a crown. Without a letter, there can't be a crown. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's true, you can't say shalom to me. So I asked you to feel like you have a connection to Torah. You say, but I can't address you, Hashem, with the word shalom. So at least make yourself, show your tremendous desire to help me out. What does it mean to help me out? To tie the crowns onto the Torah? It means to show a desire that you want to connect to the upper levels. You hear that? That's how it's different than shalom. Because shalom would have been also a greeting to Hashem. So Moshe says, but I don't have a greeting to Hashem. That was part of the lesson. Moshe had to respond to realize that there's Hashem who's giving the Torah, and there's lonely me getting the Torah. That's part of the lesson. But there's another part of the lesson. Hashem needs you. Hashem needs you to give the Torah. If there's no one coming to receive the Torah, how can I give the Torah? You should have helped me out. So Moshe Rabbeinu should have assisted Hashem in tying the crowns onto the letters. The letters represent like more the physical Torah. The crowns represent the most conceptual hidden things in the Torah. And that's, Moshe Rabbeinu should have showed a tremendous desire. And by showing that desire, Hashem would have been more able to tie the crowns onto the letters. And there's a tremendous question over here. Tremendous question. And this I have to credit a lot of my things that I say, not a lot, but some of the things I say is from an edition of the Maharal from Rabbi Hartman in Israel, who wrote beautiful footnotes. And I have to credit him with this particular... I have to credit him with the following remark, a fantastic remark. There's another Gemara that we all know. Amazing. Truly amazing. And with this we're going to conclude. Yeah? How are we doing? Over time?
Yeah, we all do.
9:03. Okay, good. Run the mark. Okay. Clarity. Okay. So, there's another Gemara. When Moshe Rabbeinu ascended to heaven, he saw Hashem sitting down and tying the crowns on the Torah. Sounds familiar. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, who's going to stop you if you give the Torah without the crowns? What's the big deal? Why are you waiting? Just give the Torah the way it is. Says Hashem, no, there's someone in the future known as Akiva ben Yosef who will expound piles and piles, tilei tilim shel halachos. They'll tell you so much about the crowns of the letters, the halachos. Moshe Rabbeinu was astounded. You mean there's someone who can expound on the crowns of the letters? The crowns represent the highest level. So Hashem, he said, show him to me. So Hashem, we went through the story once before. He sent him to Rabbi Akiva's base medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting 8 rows back. He's listening. He's like, blah, 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 blah. He can't understand a thing that's going on. Moshe Rabbeinu is so sad. He feels like, I can't understand it. Someone's student raises his hand and says to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, where do you know that from? So Rabbi Akiva says, Halacha le Moshe mi Sinai. I heard it from Moshe from Sinai. Moshe comes back, and he says, why did you give me the Torah? You should have given it to Rabbi Akiva, he's so wise. He's able to expound on it. And Hashem says, it's part of my master plan, don't ask questions, and the story continues, and that's where we're exiting from the story. But the point is, that Gemara indicates that Moshe has no understanding of the crowns of the Torah. Right? Because only Rabbi Akiva understood it. And he in fact says, why give me the Torah? Give it to Rabbi Akiva. So the question is, and this is so meaningful to us. The question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu has no concept at all of what the crowns represent, what in the world does Hashem want from Moshe Rabbeinu that he should help me out to tie the crowns onto the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu has no connection to the crowns. He doesn't understand what they mean. Says Rabbi Hartman, that's his question, says Rabbi Hartman, a brilliant answer. There's a difference between comprehension of the crowns and assisting the crowns to be developed.
I may not understand what the crowns represent, but through my desire for the Torah to come into me, to be connected to me, Hashem will tie the crowns onto the Torah and it'll come in. It'll come into the world. It'll be connected. I'll be connected to a higher level. I may not understand. I may be Moshe Rabbeinu, who can't understand, who's limited, not like Rabbi Akiva, who has limited wisdom and can't understand the crowns. Right? Even Rabbi Akiva only got a halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim, which was stuffed into Moshe. Right? It's a paradox, that story. It's an amazing paradox. But I cannot understand the crowns. But Hashem still wants us, Lo Ozrani, to help me out, that I can put the crowns on the letters. So when each of us studies Torah, when we have a connection to Torah, we might feel, what do I understand from the laws of Nazir? What do I know from Nazir? What do I know from Tzaras? What do I know from Korbanos? What do I know from Shabbos? What do I know from, what do I open a Chumash? What do I know from these things? Me? What do I know? Talk to me about sports, talk to me about politics, maybe I know a little bit about the weather. I can't talk Torah. That's not my connection. The answer is that's not what Hashem wants from each and every one of us. Even from Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not what he wanted. He didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to comprehend the letters, the crowns, because that's beyond. Moshe was right, it's beyond. The only thing that Hashem wants from each and every one of us is to desire to have a strong connection, that we want to connect to the Torah. And when we want to connect to the Torah, Hashem will put the crowns, that lofty level of Torah, and we'll be able to connect to it. That's what we learned from the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a brilliant, beautiful story. And that's the answer. And I have a little knitch. I'm finishing with this. I have a little chap. A little chap. There's another medrash. The other medrash says, an amazing thing, Moshe Rabbeinu must have learned his lesson. Because there's another medrash that I studied with Jonathan, actually, months and months ago, maybe a year ago, I don't know, that when Hashem, and I mentioned it here once before, when Hashem gave the luchos, the tablets, to Moshe, that wasn't when they got the Torah originally, that was 40 days later when Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he broke them with the golden calf, but when the luchos were being given, as the Jewish people were serving the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain and the luchos were being given. Says the Gemara, it's a halacha, the luchos are six tfachim. There's six, what do you say? What do you call it? Tfachim? It's not an arm or cubit. What's it called? Six hand breaths? Right? Yeah. 60 centimeters, basically. They're 60 centimeters long. Says the Medrash, Hashem was holding on to the first 20 centimeters, one side, at the top, if you will. Moshe Rabbeinu was holding to the bottom 20 centimeters, and there was a 20 centimeter, like, interface, or no man's land, or whatever you want to call it, in between that no one was grabbing onto. And the Torah compliments Moshe Rabbeinu at the last pasuk of the Torah. Look it up. At the last pasuk, it says, Ulechol Hayad HaChazakah, to the great mighty hand. It compliments Moshe for his strength. The Medrash explains, what was his strength? That at Matan Torah, Hashem did not want to give the luchos to the Jewish people at that moment because of the golden calf. Understandably so. Hashem wanted to give the Torah, but not at that moment. Moshe's desire to receive the Torah was so great that he overpowered Hashem. Hashem was the giver, but normally we say more than the cow wants to nurse, the mother wants to feed. Right? The relationship of a parent is much stronger toward the child than the child cares. The child couldn't care about the parent. The parent loves the child. He'd give up their life for the child, right? Over here, Hashem is the parent. Hashem's giving the Torah. Nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu's desire to receive the Torah was so great that even at a time of Chita Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu's desire was so great that he was able to snatch, so to say, the luchos from Hashem. So look at the maturation process, if you will, of Moshe Rabbeinu. When he came up originally to get the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu he didn't even say shalom. He felt, I have no connection. He said, what are you writing the crowns for? And Hashem taught him, according to what we're learning now, that it's up to you to have the desire so that I can put the crowns on. At the end of the 40 days, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu's desire was so great, he developed such a desire for Torah, that the luchos, even at a time of sin, where even Hashem wants to give it more than the people want to receive it. And it's a time of sin. So Hashem had this struggle and Hashem didn't want to give it.
And that he held himself back. Moshe Rabbeinu's desire to get the Torah was so great. Mm-hmm. So that is what we are to get out. I believe one of the main things we're supposed to get out of Shavuos is, number one, home plate, home base, our home, the Jewish home, welcome home, is Maamad Har Sinai, because of the clarity that the Jewish people had at Maamad Har Sinai, that we stopped. We're no longer a Yashar, we're now a Tam. That's what we attained at Har Sinai. Hashem opened up the heavens, we saw that clearly. And we aspire for Tamimus. And what we get to know from Tamimus, what we get to know is, well, how do we connect to Tamimus? How do we connect to Torah? We're so far away from it. A second point is that we have to develop a desire to connect to Torah. And even though Torah is so lofty, we shouldn't feel I have no connection with it. My relationship is with Hashem. I want to be with Hashem. And that great desire will bring the Torah down to us. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.